Recording.
Oh wow, what an intro.
Hello and welcome to the Cute Life episode 28.
28 years young.
Yeah, I'm Finley.
I'm Ollie.
I don't know why I said it like that. Am I sitting close enough to the microphone?
Yes.
Hello friends. Yeah.
Hello.
We're back with another episode.
The 28th one, as we've established.
Yeah, the 28th one. Hopefully this one will be following a bit more of the usual formula, unlike last week, which was just a bit of a mishmash of nothing and everything.
It was lucky we did one on Monday last week, because the rest of the week was a right shit show.
So busy. I think Ollie was back at like 9 or 10 every night.
Let's put it this way, I had to have a beer on the train every night on the way home. And that's not normal.
Yeah, it was. And then I had just been, meant that I was alone for hours and hours, so I went into a deep, dark depression, and then was just like working till like 10 at night anyway, because like I was just like, what the fuck else am I going to do? So, yeah.
Enjoyed your own company.
Oh, I was painting.
Could have cooked yourself nice meals instead of the one you made yourself when I got home.
What did I make? I can't remember.
I got home and I was like, do you want me to make some food? And Finn was like, I've already eaten. She was in quite a bad mood all week. And I was like, oh, well, what did you have? Well, I'm going to make like beans on toast. And she was like, I already had a tortilla and I just put butter on it. And I was like, what, with like salt and pepper? And she's like, no.
Just butter on a plate.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Really? Didn't you have like a, what was that sound? Didn't you make like rice with mayonnaise once?
Yeah, but that was with a hangover. That was to give me the strength to go and buy better food.
No, I don't. You have a complete opposite thing to food that I do. That I, like, if Ollie's not around to cook for, I'm like literally like, what's the point? I can't be bothered. So I just make something that has like the least effort, I can't talk.
Yeah.
The least effort involved possible. So like,
I'm like the other way around.
Even like a sandwich is like too much effort. I just end up eating cereal or something just because I really can't be bothered. Or a tortilla wrap with butter.
I'm like, right, this is my opportunity to eat something that Finn doesn't let me eat. Finn's very strict, she won't let me eat anything I want to eat.
Is that right?
Yes. So I'm like, right, I'm making chili con carne.
Oh yeah, I don't like chili con carne. Come at me, I think it's gross. I don't like the kidney beans.
They're the best bit.
Why? They're mushy and gross.
You're a vegan now. You got to eat beans.
I don't like them. I only just like potatoes for the same...
And can you tell everyone why you don't like rice?
Too bitty.
Thank you. You see what I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis here, everyone.
I do eat rice, but it's just...
Oh, only now?
It's the combination of...
And like, only because you're vegan and there's so few other options.
It's the combination of, like, the mint stuff or the vegan equivalent and the rice, which I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like things with, like, mushy textures. I really didn't like... I didn't even like chips. I had to teach myself to lick...
To lick chips.
Lick chips. I really can't talk. Anything
or like chipes.
I don't like that kind of... You know what I'm talking about? Like that fluffy texture. I don't like it.
Yeah. You know, everyone listening understands. You know when you bite into a nice crispy chip and the interior is soft, fluffy potato?
I just don't... Yeah. I don't...
Good roast. That... If only I could have a buttery tortilla instead.
I don't know. It's like the foaminess of it. I just really don't... I just dislike it.
When you explain it, like the like obviously a foamy texture isn't good unless you're having a deconstructed meal with a foam jus. Like they do on MasterChef.
I'm trying to think of something fluffy that I do, like the foamy kind of texture.
Marshmallow.
That I do enjoy. No, but that's different. That's like kind of...
Mashed potato.
It's not like... It's almost like grainy.
Sand?
I'm not like... I don't know.
What did you have for lunch today?
Ugh. I don't want to think about it.
Was it that bad?
Disgusting.
Explain what it was.
Ollie yesterday bought me... Because I used to, when I wasn't vegan, I was like occasional fish eater. And I used to really like tuna mayo.
She bloody loved it.
I loved it. I used to have like tuna mayo baguettes. That was my favourite thing ever. And Ollie found me vegan tuna mayo. And asked if I wanted some, and I excitedly replied, yes, I would like some. And now I wish I'd said no, because it was absolutely...
Oh, I've just Googled it and the reviews are terrible.
It was absolutely hideous. It was like everything about it was wrong. The texture, like, it was slimy. Mm. And then it kind of tasted a bit sweet and just really artificial. And like, nothing about it was like tuna. It was just... Except maybe like... No, even the colour. It was like this kind of like... brown sludge.
Well,
although I fed a bit to Tova and she seemed to
she likes everything
it. Yeah, she does. Except for vegetables.
Yeah, obviously anything like healthier that, or anything that will prolong her life. The one thing I did for anyone who's listening, to avoid it, it's called Loma Linda Tuna Mayo Can.
It is so terrible.
It's $1.49 a can, which is expensive.
It's so revolting.
The one thing that I thought was good, as a person who's never eaten tuna and thinks it's repulsive, was that they'd done a good job with the can. Like, it looked very, like, yeah, traditional, like, looked
well,
like
I felt like that
can.
Was even more disappointing, because everything about it looked like a tuna, like something that you just pick up in a supermarket, like a normal tuna can. And then the interior of the said tuna, faux tuna can, was most unpleasant.
It's got a couple of reviews that I'm just quickly looking at. They're all one star so
what
far.
What was really upsetting was I bought some really lovely sourdough fluffy bread, like crust, just delicious.
Fluffy?
No, Ollie.
Like a kidney bean.
Oh, come on. People know what I'm talking about here.
I call sourdough the big kidney bean.
Shut
up. I find them
shut up. I'm going to punch you.
She already did.
Yeah, I bought some really nice, delicious sourdough and then I smeared that filth on it.
No, that's annoying. Why did you not try it first?
No, we're not in.
Of course. DJB says, truly disgusting. Actually, no, he doesn't. He says, truly disgusting. Absolutely no comparison to anything like fish. More like non-fish cat food. Even mayo was nothing like mayo.
Oh my God, not actually, I've still got some in the fridge. Do you want to try some?
No way.
Why not? It'll be fun on the podcast.
No.
Just sick noises.
Just me being sick.
Are you sure?
Tastes like sour mayonnaise and sand.
Yeah, go on, try a bit.
No way, no, I don't want to. It's making me feel sick just
it doesn't
about.
Taste like fish, if that's what you're worried about.
Yeah, but that's what everyone said to me, that when we used to eat fish and meat, and we were at a fish restaurant, and someone was like, oh, try tuna steak, it doesn't even taste, it's like not meaty at all, like it's not fishy at all, it's just really meaty. And I tried it and it was pure fish, and it disintegrated in my mouth, and little bits of fish went in between all my teeth. So, like, all I could taste for the rest of the day was disgusting tuna.
Lol.
And I don't really want to live through that again, actually.
It doesn't taste like fish, obviously, babe.
Anyway, that's our Holland & Barrett review. Don't eat that.
Don't drink it either.
What was the thing we drank? Kombucha.
Oh, yeah. Kombucha, I would recommend. That was nice.
Although, I don't actually know if it's good for you.
Oh.
Well, like, they say, some people say it's good for you, but then I read a thing and a scientist said there's no evidence that it's good for you.
Oh, well, I'll drink it anyway. It was tasty. It was ginger flavour, so I enjoyed it.
It was really expensive, so you won't drink it again.
Oh.
It's like £2.50 for that can.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Big spender. What were you thinking?
Well, because Finn lives this rustic little life down in Hastings where she
I don't get things.
She doesn't
like
go
that.
Out.
No.
She's allowed is a bit of sourdough if she's lucky.
Yeah.
I like to bring her exciting treats from the bright lights of London. Fake tuna. Tea made of fermented ginger shit.
It does.
And Finn's like, wow, thank you. Drinks it all.
Shall I tell you my cute thing?
Yeah, well, I was going to tell my bit of news.
Yeah. Do you want to go first or shall I? I don't mind.
I'll go first.
You go first, seeing as your laptop is out.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can get it out of my way and start looking at this plant-based tuna shite.
Oh my God, never again.
So,
we've just talked for 9 minutes about fake tuna. This is the kind of quality content you can expect from the cute lot.
I thought you'd be like, we just talked for 9 minutes. I was about to be like, yeah, good, it's a podcast. We've got to do something.
No, specifically about fake tuna.
We can't just breathe through our noses for an hour.
I mean, we could.
So this morning,
yeah,
I woke up, tried to find my alarm to turn it off, because Toby gets very impatient when my alarm's going off because she knows that means it's time for her to go downstairs and have her breakfast treat. And she's very keen to remind me of if I don't wake up immediately. And
God bless her.
Like, so I was turning the alarm off and I got... I could see there was an email from the National Lottery.
Oh my God.
Saying, congratulations, you've won the lottery.
And tell everyone about the winnings.
Last night was the biggest ever Euro Millions. It was £170 million for the winner.
I can't even fathom that amount of money.
I may have got this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read somewhere today they said that that would make you richer than Adele.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, £170 million is quite a lot of money.
Well, Adele was very rich, though.
Yeah. But richer than...
And fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is she's earned it, you just won it.
Maybe. Who was she supposed to be going out with? Sorry.
Not Stormzy, but similar.
Skepta.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's a another weird man couple, with an S. Isn't it?
I knew it was a rapper with an S at the beginning.
Skepta.
Close enough. So obviously, I'm like, great, don't need to go to work today, I've won the lottery.
Quickly emailing, chilling,
boss. Yeah, emailing boss. Bad news.
Fuck you all, I quit.
Ollie out. I'm a lottery winner now. Goodbye.
See you in
so hand. I open the email and it's like, it's got pictures of fireworks, champagne popping. I'm like, yes, this is so good. Obviously, it doesn't tell you how much you've won in the email, so I had to log in. This is all at like 6:30 in the morning. Toby's pouring at me furiously, like, get up now. She's come over to revive me. Oh. And I open the email. Congratulations. I click the congratulations. I've won £2.80. Now.
How did you feel?
You're all thinking, £2.80, that's not bad. That's 20p off a Tesco meal deal. There's your lunch paid for. I'm part of a group at work that purchases this ticket together.
Oh no, so you had to split it.
So there's 5 of us. So we've got 58p each.
What did you spend it on?
Well, we reinvested it to buy our next ticket because we thought
that's sensible.
Thank you. Is it sensible? I don't know. So, I felt annoyed that I had to go through this roller coaster of emotions at 6:30 in the morning, and that they had all got away with nothing.
Did you email them and combine?
No, I made a WhatsApp group, and I added them to it at 7 o'clock this morning, and I called the WhatsApp group. With a picture of Richie Rich as the logo, you know, the little kid.
What, is this all your friends at work?
Just the ones who do, it's not all of my friends at work, it's just the ones I do the lottery with. I called the group Lottery Winners with loads of money bag signs. And then I sent them the email, which says, good news, you've won a prize on the National Lottery.
Oh my God. I can see why that would be, like...
Yeah, it's got literally, like, stars and stuff.
Oh my God, guys, seriously, like... Ollie is not being dramatic here.
I mean, I am being dramatic.
I would have lost my shit.
So, yeah, so I'd made the group. I sent them this photo and then I just waited a while. While they all
you're
asked
so
what happened.
You're so
cruel. Well, why should I be the only one who has to go through this crushing...
Right, so nobody else gets the email?
No, it's all set up in my account.
Okay.
It also means that if we do win $170 million, it goes into my account.
So you can lie and say that you won.
Yeah, so we just say for example, like today, I lie and say we only won £2.90, when really I have £170 million.
None of them listen to the podcast, so you've just outed yourself, mister.
So, you know, I told them that I had won £2.90 and that it would be distributed evenly between all 5 of us. They were all very excited. So we all talked a lot today about what we would have done if we'd won £170 million.
Busy day at work, was it?
Absolutely rammed. Didn't have time to do any research on the podcast. I mean, everyone's had that conversation, haven't they?
Right? Sure.
What are you going to do when you win the lottery?
Shall I tell you?
No.
Oh, I'd take all my friends on holiday to somewhere real fancy, like Bali or Mauritius.
Bognor.
They're the two things that come to mind. Mexico.
Mexico.
Mexico. I'd like to go to Mexico.
Oh, no, that's
then I'd buy you a really expensive motorbike.
Thank you.
Then I would just...
Can we get an oven?
Yeah, I'd just spend loads of money on the house, probably.
So, I found out what I would do. And here it is in a newspaper story of someone else who lived Audrey in Finlay.
Really? Is this...
Lottery lout tells how he blew £10 million fortune and ended up sleeping rough in a forest as he hunted for work. No?
Keep going.
Penniless...
I'm thinking, do I know this?
Penniless Michael Carroll claims he turned over a new leaf after he squandered his lottery winnings on drugs, alcohol and hookers and now works at the Walker's shortbread factory in Elgin.
Oh, this is a tale of woe.
It's a tale of woe. He now works at a factory earning £6 an hour packing shortbread biscuits in the Highlands after winning £10 million.
Oh, I bet he had a good time, though.
Yeah, of course.
How old was he?
Oh,
there he is.
I think he's like 40, maybe? Something like that.
I mean,
that.
I don't think I could live with myself if I'd wasted all that money. You know what I'm like with money? I can't... I have to, like, really consider spending £10 on something.
Well, this man did not have the same concerns. He fled north to escape his hell-raising ways after pals warned him that he would be dead within 6 months if he carried on partying. But he was so skint he was forced to sleep rough in a forest as he hunted for work.
Oh my god.
I don't think if you're in a forest you're like looking in the right places for work. Tattooed Carol has ditched his trademark bling for her hairnet and white overalls to churn out packets of biscuits 552 miles away from his Norfolk home. But Penniless Carol, jailed twice since picking up his lottery win in 2002, has no regrets. I get £204 every week for packing and stacking shortbread, and I love it. I treasure those wages more than any £9 million fortune.
Aww.
What an idiot.
Well, good for him. I'm glad he doesn't feel bad about it, because I would. And you know how some people, like... I think there's that Dollop episode about the man who won all those millions of pounds, and then didn't he end up getting murdered or something?
He murdered someone.
Yeah. Like, basically, it just... Yeah, descended into, like, how everyone just, like, used him and he didn't trust anyone. And I think it can ruin people's lives.
Well, Carol, who called himself the King of the Chavs when he won his money...
Love it.
Which is a weird nickname. Now enjoys yoga, goes cycling, swimming, and only eats chicken and salad, which is a weird detail.
Why? I've said that. Okay, cool.
I don't know. Anyway, his fortune disappeared in...
Is that because he's so poor?
I don't know. I think chicken and salad.
Poor person's meal? Chicken and salad? Sounds quite nice. Well, not to a vegan, but sounds all right.
I think it's...
not eating like baked beans.
I think chicken and salad is sort of seen as a healthy choice.
Okay.
Because he used to enjoy crack cocaine and drink 2 bottles of vodka a day.
Oh, it's just amazing, isn't it, what the body can put up with.
He now claims to be... almost teetotal.
Oh.
Only drinking a few cans on a Friday after work.
If you're an alcoholic, you cannot have a few cans. It's also, not like, a thing.
You can't be like... It's like when people say they're like nearly vegan.
It's not a thing.
You're like, you're vegetarian then.
Yeah.
Or
the people who are like, oh, I'm almost... I only have meat on a Wednesday. It's like, well, then you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, are you? Because you're eating meat.
But it's like... There's someone at work who told me that they were vegan.
Mm.
And then told me later, after I'd given them some of my dairy-free milk...
Oh, fuck off.
...that they sometimes ate bacon when they were really hungry.
Well, no, that's not how it works.
Then you're just a normal person.
Get off my vegan food.
Get out of my milk.
It really annoys me being vegan when people eat my vegan food, because obviously I can't then eat their food. So they're just eating my food and I don't get anything back in return. It's most annoying.
It's the like, oh, can I try that? And you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, can I try your food? No, so get off.
Why don't you go and try my vegan tuna, you freak?
My vegan fist.
Oh, I was just trying to find... Oh, sorry, I was just trying to find the bit where he was talking about all the mad shit he'd done. So he won his money in, I think it was 2004.
It's quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And when was this article released?
Well, that article obviously is recent, because that's catching up with where Carol is now.
Mm-hmm. So if he's wasted 10...
This was in 2013, so we're really bringing the cutting edge news. He got through a shitload of money real fast.
Yeah, that is quite quick. I was going to say, if it was like 2004 to now, then that's quite a long period of time.
He was getting through like more than £1 million a year.
Wow.
Good effort. Easily done, though. I could spend £1 million this year.
Yeah, I probably could too.
I bet you could. I've seen you looking at dungarees and houseplants online. Gone in no time.
There'd be a news article about me. Spent her entire fortune on house cheese plants and, Lucy and Yak dungarees. Which I really want another pair for winter, FYI. My birthday's coming up.
If whatever that company's called is listening, please send us some.
All I want is them to send me some free dungarees.
Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask to make a podcast and only talk about dungarees week in, week
out?
It's
really funny that, like, you know, on Instagram I did a, like, pet peeves thing, things that really annoy people, especially about Instagram, because I have my things where I really hate it when people say, this one. Like, so it's a picture.
You're not going on this rant again, are
you? It's a picture. No, I have a point.
Make a rant because I'm going to go and get some.
Okay. There's a picture of like a husband and wife, and they caption it with dinner with this one. It drives me absolutely insane. And so I did a little question thing where it asked people what their biggest pet peeves was. And one of the pet peeves that someone said was, I hate it when people tag companies in things and make it look like they've been gifted the items when they actually haven't. And I was like, like, literally I was thinking about doing that with the Lucy and Yak, because I really want them to send me some free dungarees. And then,
yeah, but if you're doing what they're going to give you the dungarees for free, then they're not going to give them to you for free, are they?
So true. But like, literally, do you know how many fucking bloggers I follow that have like
dungarees?
Not that many followers, and are not avid dungaree. I am practically the spokesperson for dungarees.
Yeah.
I have people tagging me on Instagram when they buy a pair of dungarees, and they credit me for buying them.
Yeah,
that is
free,
how big I am into them. I deserve a free pair. Hashtag just saying.
Okay.
Everyone, feel free to write to Lucy and Yak and tell them to give me some dungarees. I'm fucking waiting.
When they get three tweets and two of them are from me and you. Yeah. They're not going to be able to know how to deal with that kind of backlash.
I mean, my birthday's coming up. My birthday's the 3rd of November, everyone. So if anyone wants to, like, let them know that I'd be, like, willing to receive a gift from them, then that'd be great.
I'm just going to have to buy them, aren't I? Anyway. So, he was 19 when he won the lottery. He was employed part-time as a bin man.
Right.
At the time of his win, he did not have a bank account.
Oh, so he has literally got no concept of money whatsoever.
Yeah. So the lottery company had to explain to him how to go and get a bank account.
Oh my God.
How did the bin company pay him?
Did his parents not have a bank account? Couldn't they explain this to him?
I've skipped the depressing part about his family life when he was growing up. It wasn't good.
Oh no. He doesn't have parents.
When he was 18 months old, his father was jailed in military prison for 11 years for stabbing a couple after a fight at a dance party.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, soon after he winning his fortune, Carol stated that he would not be tempted into spending his money lavishly and only wanted to buy a 3-bedroom house near a lake where he could go fishing. As a fan of the Rangers, Carol also invested up to £1 million of his winnings via the Rangers Financial Management, for whom the football club receive a share of the profits on the financial services they sell.
Right.
Weird start. In 2005, Carroll participated in a celebrity boxing match in which he was defeated by Mark Smith, formerly on the TV show Gladiators, under the name Rhino.
Rhino!
Don't you think that's an unfair matchup?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, a man
Although
who's
he does... In the photo, he did look quite muscly, but, I mean, his... Rhino's actual job is crushing people. And his name is Rhino.
Yeah, so he's pretty hard.
And from what I remember, Rhino's massive. He's not like Wolf.
The fight was officially declared a draw by the judges, but everyone agreed that Rhino had won.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Rhino always wins.
In 2006, he was subject to the documentary Michael Carroll, King of the Jabs, which we will be watching after this, and we will review next week.
I think I might have even watched that, you know.
In 2005, he was given an ASBO after it found that while drunk, he had been catapulting steel balls from his Mercedes van.
Oh my God.
Which had resulted in him breaking 32 car and shop windows. He was sentenced to 240 hours of community service.
He's literally lost it.
In February 2006, he was jailed for 9 months for fighting in public. While being sentenced, he had 42 previous offences on his record.
Wowee.
In 2006, he was almost broke, having spent his fortune on drugs.
2006?
Yeah.
It's 2 years.
Yeah.
In 2 years, he spent £10 million.
While living in his mansion...
How much interest do you think you get on that? Like, so he's spending £10 million plus interest.
Yeah, like a year.
Fuck.
That's insane, isn't it? He was blackmailed by people who killed his dog.
Fuck them.
He paid the blackmailers £130,000 to leave him alone.
Aww.
They came to his house with shotguns and said, "You aren't so big now, are you, Mr. Carroll?"
Oh my God.
In 2010, he applied for his old job as a bin man.
Oh, bless him. I feel really sorry for him.
His biography came out in 2006 and was called Careful What You Wish For.
Aww. And I don't think that's going to be...
I'm going to read it. I might do it as an audio... You know what? I'm going to do a Patreon.
Patreon.
And I'm going to do... I'll read a chapter a week.
You can do that. And Derek Okora's autobiography as well.
Oh my God, that's the best thing ever.
Ollie bought me Derek Okora's autobiography 1 year for Christmas and it is fucking hilarious.
If you are a fan of Alan Partridge, like I massively am, it is literally like...
It's amazing.
It's the third book. It's like amazing. It's the funniest
So thing. People... I don't know. I feel like Derek... Maybe he's just an English kind of phenomenon.
He's barely English. Like, I don't think a lot of people even
Where
know
is
who
he from? He's Liverpudlian, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So he was on a show called Most Haunted and he was a psychic?
Well, he could communicate with the dead. Yes. So, yeah, a psychic. Spiritual medium.
And he was famous for hashtag tricking the nation because it was found out that he was a fraud, although he now maintains that he wasn't.
At one point, he channeled the spirit of a person called Creed Kafer.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which it later turned out had been made up by the TV production company and was an anagram of Derek Faker.
It's so good. It's amazing. Anyway, so this guy's like a lunatic and in the book, like it just describes like what his spirit, he has this spirit guide that he talks about all the time in Most Haunted called Sam. And he like, when he wants to talk to the dead, he's like, "What's that, Sam?" And like, pretends to look into the distance like he's talking to Sam. And in the book, it turns out, what is he? He's like a Native American boy or something?
I thought he was like a small African boy or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's something very strange.
Something really odd, like just that would... I mean, why would that be in Liverpool?
It's like if Gary Glitter had to choose a spirit medium. He'd be like...
It's just really it's just bizarre. So weird.
In 2009, Derek Okora featured in Michael Jackson, The Search for His Spirit, in which he attempted to contact the singer's spirit. The programme was named the worst TV programme in 2009, with over 9,000 votes.
Anyway, so yeah, the autobiography is most entertaining. So if maybe in the future, if we think of setting up a Patreon, maybe Ollie will read out a chapter. I wonder, we must have the Derek Okora book somewhere.
I mean, I would never have given it or thrown it away.
Yeah, we'll have to. Can you find out who Sam is?
Oh my God, he's written a lot of books. Okay, anyway.
Wait, can you look that up and find out who Sam is? Because I really want to know now.
Okay.
And I will start reading out.
Oh, I just wanted to finish my one last line about lottery winner.
Carry on, Karen.
In 2010, he appeared as a fictionalised version of himself in the film Kill a Bitch. Thank you. That is all.
Wonderful.
Right, Derek Okora, Sam.
Wait, I'll read out... I've got two cute things, one of which is very short, so I'll read my short cute thing out this week. And then I'll launch into my more elaborate cute thing.
Two levels of cute. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, I've got a cute word of the day.
Yeah? Is it cute?
It's Smoltronsdal.
Yes.
Which is Swedish. And it means a hidden spot that you escape to for relaxation or alone time, such as a cafe or a secluded park, and it literally means place of wild strawberries.
That's cute. What's so your Sommerstrau?
Oh, place of relaxation. The first thing that comes to mind is whenever I feel really stressed or like upset about something, I like to go for a walk and listen to classical music and sit in grass. And I like looking at the sea, so it's perfect for Hastings.
Well, that's lucky you live here then, isn't it?
No, I remember, I can't remember when it was, but like a couple of weeks ago I was feeling really down, so I went for a walk up on top of the East Hill.
Very good.
Yeah.
Not where we live.
Not where we live. We live on the West Hill. The East Hill. And you can... It overlooks the sea. And this is this beautiful country park. So I listen to some classical music.
Oh, you mean, so I listen to a podcast about someone getting killed and murdered.
No, that's just my like go-to when I'm working. Yeah. No, I listen to some film scores and sat in the grass with Tova. I don't know. It just makes me feel really calm.
What's the word again?
Smultronstall.
It feels like that's probably like kind of a thing that people get with pubs.
Yes, very much so.
Crazy little places.
Yeah, the Jolly Fisherman in Hastings is very much Smultronstall.
You should tell them. Guys, your pub is so Smultronstall.
Sound like I'm talking in slow motion.
And they're like, oh, she's having a stroke.
Have you found out who Sam is yet?
Yeah, it's very quick. Sam is Derek Akora's spirit guide. He met him in a previous lifetime.
Oh, sorry, that's why.
When Derek Akora was a small Ethiopian boy.
What?
Sam was a friend of the family. This was 2,038 years ago.
2,038 years ago?
Yes, but no. Great question, Derek.
Oh my God. We need to find his autobiography. It's too funny. Like, what the hell is he on about?
So when he was Sam...
Yeah.
2,038
years
ago.
He was Sam, sorry.
Oh, wait. No. Oh, yeah, sorry.
So his friend Sam.
His friend was Sam.
When he was the Ethiopian boy.
So they were both Ethiopian boys 2,038 years ago.
Okay, I'm following you.
Derek had a friend called Sam. Sam was an oracle with psychic powers who travelled from village to village. When my village was attacked by marauding invaders, I heard the screaming and I scampered away. When it settled, I crawled back to find my family had been massacred. 2 days and nights passed before Sam arrived and shouted out my name. From then on, I travelled with him. In this life, Derek was introduced to Sam by his grandmother when he was a child. She was a medium.
Okay.
So it runs in the family. They're both liars.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Okay.
Like, what the hell is he on about?
Next cute fact.
Okay, my next keeps out fact is, and I promise I will not bring this up ever again in the podcast.
Oh, for
until
fuck's sake.
The 10 most valuable Beanie Babies that could be hiding your attic.
This isn't, how's this cute?
Beanie Babies are cute, right?
Oh, this is the weakest cute story
they
yet.
They are cute. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Number one, Princess the Bear.
Yeah. Dubious of this whole story.
The purple Princess Diana Bear, Beanie Baby, quickly became...
The People's Princess.
...became iconic when T.Y. Is it Ty or T.Y.?
I think it's Ty.
Ty released it in 1997. A special edition created to raise money for the Diana Princess of Wales Memorial Fund. It's one of the most expensive vintage Beanie Babies on eBay today. As of... February 2014, there's one listed on the site for $600,000.
But do bear in mind, you can put anything on eBay for any price.
I know, Ollie. I know. So basically, what makes it valuable is that some were made with polyethylene pellets, but the expensive ones are stuffed with polyvinyl chloride pellets.
Excellent, yes. What the fuck? I would always pay more for that.
In January 2019, someone purchased a PVC Princess Bear for $10,000.
Yeah, but there's a $600,000.
Yeah, well, but you said that...
Sorry.
...that they were listed, and I was just proving that someone actually did buy one.
Okay.
Wait. This is the one that I was going to tell you about. So, get ready.
I'm ready.
How much do you think the most expensive Beanie Baby there is? This. How much do you think?
Polyethylene.
No, how much? Not why.
No, I was asking. Is it? What's the internal material? So how much? So, but didn't you just tell me how much the most expensive Beanie Baby?
No. This is a list of the most expensive ones, and seeing as you don't feel and like, you don't seem enamored with this cute.
Original plan to read out all 10?
No.
This is going to be the worst podcast. This would be voted with the worst episode of fucking Derek and Cora and Michael Jackson. Worst podcast ever.
I'm trying to bring you good things.
Woman who struggles to read reads out list of the 10 most boring Beanie Babies.
Look. It's my $2 million. Podcast, okay?
No, that's too much.
That's way too much.
$200,000.
Still way too much.
$20,000.
More.
Okay. Okay, I'll just... Wait, didn't you just say the Dyna one was $600,000?
Yeah, but it didn't sell for that, did it?
Oh, right. Sold for 10.
You see why I did that? Yeah, 10. It sold for 10.
So we're saying what the one actually sold for.
Yeah.
$42,000.
Did you see that?
No.
Did you see that?
No.
Are you fucking serious?
Wait, is it really that?
Did you see that?
No.
I'm not even fucking joking.
Let's see.
42,300.
I promise that was a guess.
Oh my god, you're psychic. Derek, get on the phone.
Sam's
in here.
My little Ethiopian boy told me.
What the fuck? That's weird.
That was a good guess.
Oh my god, Sam's here, everyone. Shit, I'm a little bit scared. Why did you get that?
I don't know. Yes.
Oh my god, that's another... It's our psychic thing, see?
Oh god, no, it's not.
It is! It's our psychic thing! That's a proof of it! Look, we've got it recorded now. Sometimes, honestly, I feel like me and Ollie are psychic. Or have telepathy. Telepathy. Yeah. Telepathy.
I mean, you're saying the right word, but you're pronouncing it madly. Telepathy.
Telepathy. Because I say things... Or like, Ollie says things, so I'm like, I literally was just thinking that. Like, I really remember this one time where I was like, do you know what, I really fancy Ollie. And he just said Toffee Crisp. Like, and it was, I was thinking of Toffee Crisp. Like,
yeah,
what?
But we were probably watching like Bake Off or something.
No, I don't think, it was completely random. And like, who the fuck wants a Toffee Crisp? Like, no one. It's fucking weird. And you said it. It was so weird. Anyway, honestly.
That was weirder.
That's fucking weird. Oh my god, we spend too much time together. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you why. I'm a little bit scared of you. Valentino is one of the most valuable of the Beanie Baby Bears. If you own a rare version with an error, you may be sitting on tens of thousands of dollars. In January 2019, a Valentino with every error, brown nose instead of black, white star on the tang instead of yellow. I'm telling you all this so you can go search your cupboards. Instead of yellow, PVC pellets, those PVC pellet guys, and multiple typos on the tag. I feel like with any toy...
Wait, what are the chances of getting all of these errors?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's worth
$42,000.
Sold on eBay for $42,300.
Did we talk about the man who bought Beanie Babies to pay for college last week?
Yes. That's why I listened back to the previous episode, because I always like to try and tie up loose ends, or like if there's any...
Because I'd forgotten that I'd actually saved an article about him that I could quickly read a bit from.
Oh, do you want it? Have you got it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when you finish your story.
But I did say that this was the last time I was going to talk about Beanie Babies, and now you're talking about Beanie
Babies.
Yeah, the
last time you were talking about Beanie Babies.
Is this just turning into the Beanie Baby podcast?
Hello, welcome to the Beanie Baby podcast.
With me, Finley.
With me, Beanie Baby Baby, Ollie. Finley.
And Trunks.
Can I quickly just read this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. When Chris Robinson's father started collecting Beanie Babies, he thought he could use the eventual profits to pay for 5 college tuitions. Instead, he ended up spending upwards of $100,000, Robinson's estimate based on the average cost for each Beanie Baby, for a collection of 20,000 stuffed animals that are all still sitting in his garage.
20,000?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's been 20 years since the initial Beanie Baby craze, when the palm-sized plushies were found in McDonald's and Hallmark stores across the globe.
Oh, that's on this list. The McDonald's Beanie Baby Bears. They're worth a lot of money.
How much are they worth?
Oh wait, it's not on this list. This is the top 10 list. They were definitely on the top 20.
So
I didn't want to bore you with top 20.
No, that's too much. Robinson, who directed a short documentary called Bankrupt by Beanies, recalls his father's introduction to Beanie Baby Mania. His little brother saw one in a store and wanted to play with one. The store owner told my dad that they were going to be worth a lot and that these ones were really rare. So he kind of took that to heart and went a little crazy. When Robinson's father began reading collector's manuals, which projected high future value for the toys, he decided that collecting and selling Beanie Babies would pay for his son's college tuition.
Oh, bless him.
For years, the Robinson family was consumed by the hunt for Beanie Babies. With a collection for each of the five sons, Robinson's father would spend weekends recruiting anyone he could, kids, neighbourhood kids, and even friends of his wife, to buy new releases for him. Since shops often limited each family to one purchase, he would warn his sons to pretend not to know one another in the store.
Oh my god.
Once they were home, days were spent cataloguing and packaging the Beanie Babies, which he organised by species and colour.
Oh my god.
In his documentary, Robinson's mother says that the idea wasn't a bad one, but like those Dutch tulip merchants, the Robinsons failed to cash out in time. I don't know what that's a reference to. Do you?
So weird.
For about the first 6 months, they could have made a nice profit, but they missed the window. When we knew they were valuable because they were kind of at their peak, but we didn't know that part. Now, even though the children who actually play with the Beanie Babies are now young adults, ready to drop some cash on nostalgic memorabilia, like you, Finlay.
Oh my god, if I could get my hands on a Polly Pocket. That big one. Did Hattie have that?
Prices are very low. Many of the plushies actually sell for less than their original price now.
Aww.
And only very few sell for anything close to the thousands that were expected. Baldy the Eagle, a plush that was supposed to be extremely rare, is currently selling on eBay for only a few dollars. And the Robinsons have 50 of them.
Oh.
This is the sad bit. Robinson's father is still holding on to his collection in case they come back around. Aww. And plans to pass them on to his son either way. Maybe the market will pick up again, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, you don't know. There might be in, like, I don't know,
a million.
100 years' time, they could be
2,000 years.
Like antique collector's items. I mean, don't know, do you?
It's quite a way.
You just don't know.
No. Sorry, I feel like I interrupted your cute story there, Sliney.
Oh, it's okay. Like, I completely...
understand why.
I just finished on Valentino the Bear. And frankly, I'm not going to top the fact that we're fucking psychic, Ollie. I can't believe we got that on the podcast.
That's good.
Wow.
Next week we can do a Ouija board and capture that on the podcast.
Yeah. I think...
The guy who invented the Ouija board's gravestone is a Ouija board.
Is it? That's cool. Where is it? Can we go visit it?
I think it's in America.
Oh, I want to go to America anyway because I listened to My Favourite Murder, the one about people being buried alive, and there was a story about this woman who was buried alive and her husband like loved her and buried her alive by accident, and then
we've all done it.
By the time they pulled her up, she was dead and there were like loads of claw marks on the inside of the coffin. Wow, that's cool. Ollie's just showing me the Ouija gravestone.
It's in Baltimore. Don't know anything
no,
else
it's
about
not
Baltimore.
Near this statue that I'm talking about is in Kentucky. But like basically he was so upset about his wife that he made a life-size statue of her to go on the grave.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
That's cute, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Ollie. Because this yeah. is the cute one.
Why not?
Why not? It's my third cute thing this week.
Anything else? Dogs are cute. Cats are cute.
Anyway. I feel like I'm in disgrace at the moment because...
You've let us all down.
I let all my friends down because I was supposed to be up... I was currently, this very moment, supposed to be enjoying
A
dough ball in Pizza Express. And I am being so busy that I just lost track of what day it was. And my friends all were meeting at Pizza Express in London. And I suddenly realised that it was tonight and not next week.
But Finn was like, she's like, why are they all talking about this so much? Like, because they're messaging at the weekend and you're like, why are they talking about...
They were like so excited for this. Like, can't wait. And I was like, yeah.
No, my friends have been really keen.
This is a bit early.
We're not all going out for dinner until like, literally, 2 weeks away.
Honestly, I'm so thick. Sometimes I'm like, what is wrong with you? And then, like, my friend Rhiannon, like, earlier today was like, I can't wait for this later. And I was like, in my head was just like, she must mean later next week.
And why would you think that?
I don't know. I just read it and I was like, and it still didn't clock. Well, it was like the other night when I was saying, honestly, my brain is not working. Like, we've got, like, an electric meter in our house. And so, like, if you don't top it up, the electric runs out. And so, like, I got up the other day and just, like, it took me so long to work out that the fucking electricity had gone off. I, like, plugged my phone in and was just like, plug must not be working. I'll change it to another plug. And then I changed it and I was like, that's not working either. And then I plugged my phone into the computer and I was like, oh, that's charging now, because obviously my computer had battery. And then, like, went to run the tap and it was just cold water. And I was like, got cold water there. There must be a problem with the boiler or something. That's a bit strange. And then, like, it took me honestly about 4 or 5 like, turning on separate things to finally work out that the fucking electric wasn't working, you fucking thicko, Finley. Honestly, sometimes I feel like bashing my head against a brick wall.
And then you messaged me, where is our electricity meter? Which concerned me, seeing as we have lived in this house since February. Which I think might mean that the bill distribution is not even in this household. Because that means I've paid for everything so far. But maybe not. Let's not talk about that.
I make up for it in cleaning and washing your clothes and ironing your pants. And
thank you, and I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I
very
do all
much.
Those things, so shut up.
Okay.
You jerk.
Jesus. Uh-oh.
Look, we're psycho. What am I thinking?
I wish I was single. Wow! That's crazy, we're on the same page.
Anyway, yeah, so.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, that might be it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Mm,
do you have any recommendations?
I literally have nothing. Me and Ollie have just been Ollie's rewatching and I'm watching for the first time Man Down with Greg Davies and Rick Mayall, because we watched a documentary about Rick Mayall.
Who's the guy from The Young Ones?
The Young Ones and Bottom and Blackadder, and it just reminded me about how much I love him and just how funny he was. Just an absolute
legend.
Shining star. He's amazing. I love
Sometimes
him.
Sometimes the brightest stars burn too brightly.
That's very true.
Thank you.
And right. The potest. I quite fancy him.
I can tell.
You
just fancy everyone.
No, I don't. But I do fancy Rick Mayall. Anyway, and then Ollie was like, have you seen this programme? And I was like, no, I haven't seen this programme. And then we were like, shall we watch this programme? So we started watching it, and it's really good. So I'd recommend it. It's very funny.
So let's go and watch an episode now.
Yeah, I think we're going to... Now we're stopping this. Yeah.
I feel like that was a very disjointed episode.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit all
over.
Like
we jumped around, like, really fast.
I feel like you guys... You come to expect this from the podcast.
Yeah.
You know that we don't...
We're either overly excited and we jump around too much, or we can't think of anything to
say. Yeah, exactly. There's no in between.
Well, I guess disjointed is better than nothing to say.
Yeah, very true.
I listened to a podcast the other day where they have a flow chart.
Really?
Where they... So...
This is organised.
They...
Oh, God.
But it means that they just talk about the same thing every week.
Oh, that's boring. I think that's...
Anyway, back to your cute thing. No,
no, but I feel like that's the only linear, like, regular thing that we have, like, topic that we have. We don't have... And maybe that's, like, our downfall. Like, maybe we should be more, like, focused... Like, just do true crime. But I feel like I don't really want it... Like, when I listen to podcasts, sometimes that are, like, really, like, in-depth stories or whatever, like, I just find it so difficult to concentrate. So, like, I really want this just to be, like... Like, you're just sitting with friends, like... And we're just keeping you company while you're working.
I want to make a podcast you can just zone out to and don't have to listen to the shit we're talking about.
Exactly!
But... If you're looking for something to listen to, Finley's new Beanie Baby podcast is going to be starting next week.
It's going to be thrilling.
It's called Beanie Babe.
Oh my God, that would be a good title.
For a podcast that literally no one will listen to.
Or one about hats.
Why?
Beanie Babe.
beanie. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, this is the end of this episode of Cute Life.
You have reached the end of side A of Cute Life podcast.
Sam is telling me that this needs to end.
Sam's telling us that Derek Acora is racist and this is the end of the podcast. Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Oh,
bye.
Oh my God. Actually, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to link in the show notes the Mary Loves Dick. It's the best, most haunted clip in the entire world. I'm going to link it in the show notes. Please go watch it. I mean, I feel like most people have seen it already. It's
I really think you make assumption. Like, I don't think a lot of people even know what Most Haunted is.
Okay, well, I'm
it's
just
not
gonna,
on TV anymore.
I'm
it's
gonna link,
on, like, some shitty channel.
I'm going to link this. Like, me and my friend Matt, who I talked about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, me and my friend Matt used to just, like, drink, like, really cheap basic cider and watch Most Haunted and, like, cack ourselves laughing at it. And it's a clip from the show with Derek Acora, and it's so funny, so I'm going to link it.
The end.
Write in with your cute stories or just anything you want to talk to us about. You can either DM me and Ollie on Instagram at Finley Elliot Portraits at Ollie Place, or you can email thecutelifepodcast@gmail.com. Share, please share. It's very helpful and we love it when people like tell us that you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Really does make my day. Can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
And
if you've got a pristine Valentino beanie baby for sale,
quid's in, mate.
Hit me up. I'm buying.
You've got your £2.80.
I've got £2.80.
Wait, you don't. 53p?
I can't.
How much was it? 58p?
I hope none of them are listening, but I'm not giving them a penny of that. They're dead to me.
Good
if they can't get that money.
That's yours.
Thank you.
It's your admin fee for organising the lotto.
Also, they always forget to pay me their section, so...
Fuck them all.
Yeah, fuck them all. Anyway.
On that note, fuck you all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.